10 minutes later, perhaps 5 seconds after Castillo had decided they were en route to the safe house in Pilar, they were on the sort of parkway that connects the downtown Buenos Aires Ecija Autopista with the Acceso Norte, which turns into Ruta 8. The BMW ahead of them suddenly turned onto an exit road, and the bus, tires squealing, followed them. When Castillo looked out the back, he saw that the Peugeot behind them had come to a stop in the middle of the exit road, effectively blocking anyone who might be following. They drove 3 blocks into what looked like a working-class neighborhood, rows of small, wall-sharing, single-family homes built of masonry, broken only by buildings that could have been small factories or garages or warehouses, then made another screeching turn and abruptly slowed before making a left turn off the street and rolling through an opened overhead door into a 3-story building. A stocky man wearing a pistol shoulder holster was standing just inside the door, and as soon as the bus was inside, he pulled on a chain mechanism that quickly lowered a corrugated steel door. The room had been dimly lit. Now, fluorescent lights flickered on, filling the area with a bright, harsh light. They could see they were in some kind of garage. Vehicles of all descriptions, 25 or 30, perhaps more, including several taxis and a nearly new Mercedes-Benz 220, were parked closely together, noses out against the walls. There was a ramp at the end of the room leading upward.
"Is this where we go fishing, Colonel?"
Chief Warrant Officer 5 Colin Leverett asked. The bus driver opened the door. Munz stuck his head into the bus.
"We change vehicles here," he announced.
"What's going on, Alfredo?" Castillo asked in German.
"In a moment, please, Carl," Munz replied in German, then said in English, "Would everybody please get off the bus?"
Max needed no further encouragement. Munz ducked out of his way at the last possible second. Max ran around the area.
"In a strange gait," Castillo noticed, "almost as if he's running on his toes. He's hunting. That's what he's doing. I'll be damned if he didn't sense that just about all of us warriors of legendary icy courage on the bus were scared shitless by this mysterious little joyride."
Found nothing that worried him, and returned to Munz, where he sat down and offered him his paw.
"Max says it's safe to get off the bus, fellas," Davidson said.
"Don't laugh at him," Castillo said. "Remember the last time he went looking for something in a garage?"
"Who's laughing?" Davidson said agreeably.
Everybody piled off the bus. The driver went to the rear and started unloading the luggage. 2 more large men who looked like cops.
The ones who had been in the back seat of Munz's BMW, Castillo decided, moved quickly to help him.
Castillo caught Munz's eye and wordlessly asked who they were and what was going on.
"I'll explain this all in a minute," Munz said. "We're pressed for time. Lester, could you find Acceso Norte from here?"
"Yes, sir," Corporal Bradley replied. "I am fairly familiar with the area."
"Young?" Munz asked.
"Yeah, I know my way around BA."
"Carl, would it be all right with you if Lester and Young drove everybody not needed here out to Nuestra Pequeña Casa?"
"Who's needed here, Alfredo?" Castillo asked.
"Edgar and Jake should be in on this, Charlie," Alex Darby said.
"Okay," Castillo said. "Are we going to need a radio right now?" Darby shook his head.
"Okay, load the cars that Mr. Darby's going to give you," Castillo ordered. "Niedermeyer, if you ride with Two-Gun, we won't have both radios in one car. Otherwise, suit yourselves. Take all the luggage. Edgar and Jake, you'll stay."
They nodded.